I think there's one thing to see here I think is important. In verse 10, it says that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And I want to just connect this to what we had yesterday about telling the Lord how we feel. Just being open and honest before the Lord, right? Verse 10. Then notice this, and I think this is significant as well. Twice it's mentioned. Verse 12, and it happened as she continued praying where? Before the Lord. That means in the Lord's presence. Okay? And then it says down in verse 15, and she's talking, she says, I'm not drunk. She said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. So this expression of opening up to the Lord, telling him, but being in his presence. Listen, there's no better place to be when we're hurting than in the presence of the Lord. To get into his presence, recognizing who he is, and that, and I love this, I love Hannah, because she knew where to go. She knew where to go. She knew she was hurting, and she knew exactly where to take it, and she was in his presence.
You know, when sin came in, that man fled from the presence of the Lord. And something I should have mentioned, that notice that when Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was saved, a mark of his salvation, as it were, he was, behold, he prayeth. He went into the presence of the Lord. Just a comment.
Sometimes we just end up saying, like Job did, Job 16, you are miserable comforters. And we might not say it to friends that are trying to help us, but we might think it. Job says some very sarcastic things to those friends. He says, surely you're the people. Wisdom's going to die with you. He says, how long will the words of your mouth be like a strong wind? They were miserable comforters. They didn't help him. So we might, if we're the hurting ones, the lesson is that came from yesterday and these thoughts, we can't rely on other people to help us. Like, people ought to help us. That's our theme today, especially. We ought to be the ones who want to help. What if nobody helps me? Well, I still have the Lord. I still have the Lord. But the Lord uses us. All the one another's in the scriptures in the New Testament, they are the watchword. They are the subtext of the Christian life. Because we are not intended to be, you know, the Lone Rangers of Christianity. We're intended to be living in community with fellow believers. And so if that's the case, I have burdens, but I'm supposed to help you carry your burdens. And you might not ever help me carry my burdens. It might be. Or we'll put it on me, right? I might never help you carry your burdens, but you probably will be gracious enough that the Lord will use you to lift me up when I'm the one who's hurting. Let's shift our focus. We have about 35 minutes.
Can I just say one more thing?
But first, we'll hear a word from Tim.
Job. How about Job's wife? Wasn't she a big encouragement? Why don't you curse God and die? Just curse God and be done with it. Right? And sometimes those that are the closest to us aren't the comforters that maybe we think they should be. But I so appreciate Job. Because he could say, she said, curse God and die. Job turns around and says, you know what? Later on he says, even if he slays me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to depend on him. Now, Job had lessons to learn. Steve mentioned that. But he could say, I'm in his hands. Whatever he wants to do to me, even if he slays me, I'm going to still trust him. I mean, wow. That's really something. But sometimes those that are the nearest to us aren't the comforters they should be, but we still have the Lord.
Okay, so let's turn our focus now to the encouraging side of it. Some models for us, or some guidelines for us in the New Testament or the Old Testament, but there are many in the New Testament, which would indicate to us how it is that we can help those who hurt. Either a verse or an example, an experience. What would you suggest to lead off this thought? People who needed help and they got some help. Well, let's start with Luke 24. We won't read the whole passage, but you may remember this scene where two disciples, Luke 24, verse 13, are going back home to Emmaus. They're leaving Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus has not been found in the tomb. They don't understand. They're perplexed. And verse 15 says, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So just between verse 15 and verse 27, just draw out some things that you might notice there in this passage. What are some things that are part of this walk and talk that that would fit in with our subject? And I know somebody can give us some answers for this one, so I'm not going to rescue you on this one.
I think one of the important things to see, and it goes along with what you said not to do, not to assume what they're going through. And the first thing Jesus asked them when he comes up to them, well, it's that he asked them a question. And they give him an answer, and he asks another question. And they give another answer. And he really wants to get down to the bottom of what is troubling them. Because when you're going through difficulties and discouragement and despair, it's so easy to give a superficial answer to people when they ask you what is wrong or what's going on. Even to people who you know genuinely care for you, you have a defense up naturally so that you don't allow people in. And so it's easy to give them this answer. And so Jesus really gets to the bottom of it. And I think for those of us who seek to encourage others, we need to ask questions that would open up their heart, because it's only when their heart is opened that healing can begin.
I was going to another example, so